We're going to look together at the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 21 and verse 13. Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Many people want an easygoing religion which doesn't disturb them too much or demand very much of them. A Christianity which involves little more than going to church once a week. Needless to say, the Apostle Paul was not among that number. He tells us here that he was ready to suffer and to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. There he was, surrounded by a group of friends who were weeping and crying and pleading with him not to risk his health and life by going to Jerusalem. And he says to them, "What do you mean, breaking my heart like that? I'm ready to go there, not only to be bound, but to die for the Lord Jesus Christ, if need be." Let me remind you that Paul was on his way to Jerusalem to preach the gospel there. He has said in Acts 20, verse 22, that he felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to go there. Indeed, he was anxious to get there before the Jewish feast of Passover, Pentecost, because he knew that vast crowds of people would be there in the city of Jerusalem who needed to hear the gospel. On the way to Jerusalem with his friends, he stopped off at Caesarea, where a man named Philip lived with his daughters. This man Philip, you remember, he's mentioned earlier in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, he was a deacon of the church in Jerusalem, and he'd had to flee Jerusalem because of persecution, and now there he was living with his daughters in Caesarea, four daughters who incidentally had the gift of prophecy. While he was staying there, a prophet by the name of Agabus called to see Paul and did a strange thing. He took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet with it, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owes this belt and hand him over to the Gentiles." In other words, by means of a prophetic utterance, Agabus predicted that Paul would be arrested and bound and imprisoned in Jerusalem and handed over to the Gentile Romans authorities. When Paul's companions heard that, and the friends in the house, they pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. And Paul obviously appreciated their concern, but he was determined to go and preach the gospel in Jerusalem. He wouldn't be swayed by their praying and pleading and weeping. Not because he was headstrong, not because he was a stubborn individual, but because, as we've already seen, he felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. He felt he must go there and preach the gospel while he had strength and while he had life, because the need was so great there in Jerusalem. Now, there are many things we could learn from this passage. It would be very interesting to spend some time on the whole matter of the gift of prophecy, but I'll leave that controversial matter for your pastor to deal with in due time. Okay, maybe he's already dealt with that one. Let me just say this in passing. These prophetic utterances often occurred in the New Testament. Some spiritually minded person like Agabus or one of these daughters of Philip would be given a word from the Lord and uttered it. And often that word from the Lord would help God's people in a very difficult situation. For instance, this man Agabus had given a prophecy in Acts chapter 11, verse 28, that there would be a famine in Jerusalem, a word of prophecy, and that enabled people to prepare for that. But this morning we're just going to look at Paul's response to this word of prophecy, this magnificent, moving statement. I'm ready to be bound, not only to be bound, but to die at Jerusalem for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing melodramatic about that. There's nothing poetic about that. There was a real risk that Paul would be bound and imprisoned in Jerusalem and handed over to the Roman authorities. So there's nothing melodramatic about this. It was very realistic. Paul knew what he was heading for. But he says, I'm ready for that. I'm ready to die in Jerusalem if that is what the Lord wants. The simple question I want to put to you and to put myself this morning is this. Why was Paul willing, ready to make any sacrifice for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why was he willing even to make the supreme sacrifice for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? There have been many people down through the history of the church. Indeed, it would be true to say there would be no gospel churches in this country were it not for the fact that in the past, people in this country have been willing to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Been willing to die in order that we might have the Bible in our own language. And have given their lives. Think of those times in the reign of Mary, from 1555 to 1558, when 288 people in this country were burned at the stake because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Got to Scotland the following century, 1684 to 85, those years known as the killing years, the killing times, when so many Christians were put to death because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Men like John Brown, mown down in front of his wife and young child. Women like the two Margarets, who were tied to a stake in the Solway Firth and left to drown on the rising tide. Down through the years, many people have been willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, in our day, many people in North Korea, many people in parts of India, many people in Myanmar, many people in Cambodia have been willing, even of recent years, even now, to give their lives for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. God willing, I'll be going back to Cambodia in a few weeks' time. And one of the most moving things there is to meet young Christian pastors, young Christian church leaders who actually saw their parents and their grandparents and their older siblings being killed because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And that these young church leaders are willing to face the same risk for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was Paul willing to do that? You see, many people today would think he was mad. That, of course, would be the view of many non-Christian people. How mad to give your life for the sake of the Lord Jesus and for the sake of the gospel. And we can understand non-Christians taking that point of view. But there are nominal Christians who think there's something odd about making sacrifices for the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know that? They think it's odd to make sacrifices for the sake of the Lord Jesus. How do I know that? Because they never make a sacrifice themselves. It's too much of a sacrifice for some Christians to worship the Lord more than once on a Sunday. Much too much to expect them to come out again and worship him in the evening. There are many Christians in the UK I think it's far too great a sacrifice to give up a midweek to come to a prayer meeting. Many nominal Christians think it's foolish, wrong, to make any sacrifice for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask, why was Paul willing to put his life on the line for the sake of the Lord Jesus? First of all, because of his knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew who Jesus Christ really was. These poor souls who think it's crazy to put yourself out for Jesus, who think it's asking too much to sacrifice just a little bit of time for him, do they really know him? Paul knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus is someone very special, someone very important. There'd been a time in Paul's life when he was blind to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time when he thought Christians were mad to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But now he realized that Jesus Christ was the greatest and most glorious person in the whole universe. He refers to him here, you'll notice, as the Lord Jesus. I'm ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. The name of the Lord Jesus. He's the eternal and everlasting Son of God. Look back as far as you can into eternity past. Look back as far as you can and further. There has never been a time when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, didn't exist. He's the eternal and everlasting Son of God. He's been there from before the very beginning. He shared with God in the creation of the whole universe. God said, let us make man in our own image. To whom is God speaking? He's speaking to his Son. Paul knew that. Now, his eyes have been opened to see it. Paul says in the letter to the Colossians, by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. Paul knew who Jesus really is. He's the Lord of the universe. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He came into this world, laid aside all that glory for a while, and came into this world, died upon the cross, but now he's back in heaven. He's been given the name, says Paul, above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Paul was willing to make any sacrifice for Jesus because he knew who he was and who he is. Are you ready to sacrifice anything for the sake of such a wonderful Savior? Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you just ignore him. Maybe you come to church now and again, but for the rest of the time, you ignore him and don't bother about him. You need to realize he's not just an ordinary man, not just another religious leader, not just another good teacher. He's the eternal Son of God, the Lord of the universe, the King of kings. Secondly, Paul was ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ because of his gratitude to him, his knowledge of him, and his gratitude to him. The Lord Jesus Christ had done something for Paul that he could never, ever forget. The Lord Jesus Christ had saved him, had pardoned his guilt. There had been a time when Paul was a guilty, lost, hopeless sinner on the way to hell. Very religious, but like many people today, hopelessly lost. That is possible, you know, to be very, very religious, but hopelessly lost and on the way to hell. And Paul was like that at one time. But the Lord Jesus Christ had saved him rescued him and made him a child of God by a great sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ had come into this world and died upon the cross to bear the punishment due to sinners like us. And Paul knew that Christ had died for him to rescue him from the bondage of sin, to rescue him from the guilt of sin, to rescue him from a life of sin, and to make him a child of God. You often find the Apostle Paul, when you're reading his letters, he often breaks out into a kind of doxology. In his letter to the Galatians, he breaks out. He's reasoning through the letter to the Galatians, and he suddenly breaks out and says, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." In a letter he wrote to his young friend Timothy, he says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the chief of them." He breaks out into these wonderful statements about what Christ had done for him. "He came to save me. He came to die for me. He's rescued me from sin, from guilt, from shame, made me a child of God." The Lord had changed Paul's life completely. Now this man Philip, with whom Paul was staying in Caesarea when he uttered these words, this man Philip could tell you all about that, you see. Because Philip had been a deacon of the church in Jerusalem. But this man Saul, as he was called then, Paul now, but this man Saul, as he was called then, had stirred up such great persecution against the church, hounding them to prison, throwing them into jail, that Philip and many other Christians had had to flee from Jerusalem to Samaria because of the persecution of this man now named Paul. But here is the same persecutor in Philip's home, a changed man. Philip had been there when a colleague called Stephen, a fellow deacon, had been stoned to death in Jerusalem. And one of those who sanctioned that stoning to death was this man Saul. He stood there giving his approval to Stephen being stoned to death. Philip had seen all that. But now that same persecutor, that same man who'd hated Christ, was in his home, a believer, a Christian, entirely changed, now on the way to heaven, instead of on the way to hell. Now that is why Paul was willing to make any sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord had saved him. The Lord had changed his life completely. The Lord had made him a new person. Entirely different. The same intellect, the same appearance, but a different heart entirely. That is why Paul was willing to go to Jerusalem, even if it meant death. My friend, are you ready to do that? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's Son? Do you believe that he died for you? Has he saved you? Saved you from hell? Saved you from guilt? Saved you from sin's bondage? Put you into God's family? Has he done all that for you? Well, are you willing to make any sacrifice for him? C.T. Studd, the famous cricketer who became a famous missionary, put it like this. "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." So Paul was ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ because of his knowledge of him, because of his gratitude to him. Or to put it another way, he was ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ if necessary, because of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He truly loved the Lord Jesus Christ. One time he'd hated Christ. One time he'd hated Christ so much that he would kill anyone who said they believed in him. But now he loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart. Now, if Paul were alive today, he would gladly sing how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ears, soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. If Paul were alive today, he'd gladly sing, "There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth." He loved Christ. And when you truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're willing to make any sacrifice for him. That's true on the human level, isn't it? If you really love someone, you're willing to make sacrifices for them. What sacrifices some parents have made for their children, and gladly so. What sacrifices some wives have made for their husbands, and gladly so. What sacrifices some husbands have made for their wives, and gladly so. Have you noticed how when a young fellow falls in love, he's willing to do anything for this love in his life, you know? His parents have been nagging him for years to do something. His parents have been nagging for years to smarten himself up. No result. But now he's fallen in love. And he's willing to do anything with this person that he loves. Well, apply that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul loved the Lord Jesus Christ and was willing to make any sacrifice for him. When I was at school, many, 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 many moons ago, when I was at school, we used to have morning assemblies. And a prayer that we recited rather dully as boys than this grammar school went like this. The words are wonderful, but we just ran them off without thinking. The prayer was this: Lord, teach us to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing that we do your will. We were brought up on that prayer in school assemblies. It wouldn't be popular among many Christians today to give and not count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to ask for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward. That wouldn't be popular. But if we love someone, we're willing to do anything for them. There were other reasons. I've given you three main reasons why Paul was willing to make sacrifices of Christ. One, his knowledge of him. Two, his gratitude to him. Three, his love for him. But there were other reasons. Here's a fourth reason: because of his concern for the lost people there in Jerusalem. He knew that they desperately needed to hear the gospel. He had been like them at one time. They were ever so religious, but on the way to hell. They were devout Jews. But Paul knew you could be a devout Jew and still be lost. Of all the other religions, Judaism is nearest to Christianity. But being a devout Jew is not enough. Paul knew that. And so he's anxious to go to Jerusalem because of his concern for these lost people there. I must go, he says. My fellow countrymen are there, and they need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember how Paul puts it in Romans 10? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Is that your burden? Your heart's desire? For people in this country, living around this church, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for my fellow UK citizens is that they might be saved. Or remember how Paul puts it even more dramatically in Romans 9. Many people remember that Paul talked about election in Romans 9. Wonderful. A doctrine of election. Wonderful. But they forget Romans verses 1 and 2. Romans 9, verses 1 and 2. I tell you the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have a great sorrow and continued grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He had a great longing, a burning longing, that his fellow countrymen would be saved. Oh, that we had a zeal and passion like that. Look at David Brainerd in the 18th century, laboring among the Red Indians. Oh, the zeal of the man. How ill he was. What sacrifices he made. Think of Henry Martyn. Read his life. That young man, that brilliant young man. Very clever guy. Turning his back on it all. Had a lovely girlfriend called Lydia down there in Cornwall. But he went off to India, then to Persia, making great sacrifices for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he went down with TB consumption. Longing to get home and see his beloved Lydia again, to get married. But he never made it. Never made it. What sacrifices some people have made for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of John Payton going as a missionary to the cannibals of the South Sea Islands. He and his young wife set sail in 1858. Just a year later, his wife and their new baby died of fever. With his own hands, he had to dig his wife's grave. Listen to what John Payton says. I built the grave round and round with coral blocks and covered the top with beautiful white coral broken small as gravel. And that spot became my sacred shrine during the following months and years, when I labored on for the salvation of those savage islanders amidst difficulties, dangers, and deaths. Whenever Tana, that's the area, whenever Tana turns to the Lord and is one for Christ, men will remember that spot where with ceaseless prayers and tears I claimed that land for God and where I buried my dead with faith and hope. But for Jesus and the fellowship he gave me, I would have gone mad and died beside that lonely grave. Now, some of the excuses we trot out as Christians seem a bit lame, don't they? When we compare ourselves with David Brainerd and Henry Martyn and John Payton. Sorry, can't come to the prayer meeting tonight. I feel a bit tired. Sorry, I can't come to the prayer meeting tonight. There's something I want to see on telly. For Jesus and the fellowship he gave me, there I would have gone mad and died beside that lonely grave. Here's the last reason why Paul was ready to make any sacrifice and even die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. His knowledge of Christ, his gratitude to Christ, his love for Christ, his concern, his burden for the lost. Lastly, his assurance of heaven. Paul says, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die for Christ if need be. I'm ready to die. Death held no fear for Paul. He knew that if the worst came to the worst in Jerusalem, they killed him. He knew that would just usher him most speedily into the glory and wonder of heaven. You see, Paul could go back in his mind to that day when he saw Stephen stoned to death. Paul could go back in his mind that he was there. And Paul could remember something Stephen said. Stephen, as the stones, as the boulders were hurling down upon him, Stephen looked up to heaven and he says, I see the heavens opened and the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. Stephen knew that the moment he died, the Son of God would welcome him into heaven. And now Paul, a new man, knew that even if he died there in Jerusalem, even if the worst did come to the worst, he'd go straight to be with the Lord in heaven. Those were the reasons why Paul was willing to make any sacrifice for the sake of the Lord Jesus. What about us? What about us?